Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
Hey, seven to shoot. Curry, deep one, bullseye. Steph Curry.
It wasn't quite night-night time, but maybe time to start getting tucked in.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
Six double overtime, and to open an NBA season has never been a triple OT. The Rockets would like to end it here. Durant on the bench. Fouled out. Adams looking. They get it to Jabari Smith. His turn for the win. And go! And the Thunder with an opening night victory.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland's sports leader. 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Hump day!
Indeed. Indeed, Camel. Happy hump day, everybody.
What is happening?
Dealing with slightly sore legs.
Ooh, we got sore legs today. Little leg day in Arnie's.
Didn't do a leg day at Arnie's.
No leg day?
My only exercise happened yesterday evening when I took my 9-year-old to her second to last soccer practice of the season.
Yeah.
And I'm reading my book in a lawn chair, letting her do her thing, and all of a sudden the collective kids scream over, "Parents versus kids!
Let's go! Time to play soccer!"
I went, "What?" Everybody else was looking around like,
"I'm just trying to sit here and have a. I'm just trying to watch a little NBA basketball. It's opening night.
I'm wearing pants.
What are we doing? I'm not ready for this. I haven't stretched.
I got a nice shirt on. I got my running shoes. I don't have like cleats for this grass.
Fine, I'll go dominate some kids. What do you need from me? How many goals did you score?"
Two.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get a couple out of that.
I had to get a couple.
You got to get a couple. I'm going to, you know, you got to take advantage of your opportunities. You're not called
on. Score on your daughter.
Well, it was tough because there was like, I'm trying to think, the adults, there was
kind of a massive humanity on the field.
Five versus eight, I think it felt like. There were eight kids everywhere screaming and running around and kicking us in the shins.
Yeah.
Had a nice hockey assist, pass to a pass that led to a goal.
That should count. That's an assist. Give it, count it.
Had a girl tell me they should double team me because I'm too good. I was like, "You damn right.
You damn right I'm too good. I'm out here. I still got it. Still got it."
Made a little girl cry.
Ooh, that's always solid.
And absolutely bit it. Slipped through the grass with the wet grass and the run shoes.
Going for a big boot?
Ass.
Were you going for the big kick and then the plant leg gave out on you?
No, because after I'd made the girl cry, I was trying to not be as aggressive as going after the ball.
Let's not do this as much anymore.
So I was running after the soccer ball and I saw one of the girls running up to it too, and I like tried to slow down and my foot just gave out into the grass, so I ended up falling.
Yeah, I had that. We were at that weekend when we went down to the Indiana game and took the little guy. I had the reminder of, I don't walk up high into the stadium very often, but where our seats were, they were kind of, you know, underneath the overhang. They were solid seats. But I learned quickly how much my legs were not quite prepared for carrying a 30-pound kid up and down seats multiple times. And I woke up the next day because you're going up, and then he wants to go down. He wants to go run around the concourse. Then, okay, we got a snack. Let's go back up to the seats. And you walk back up. And I woke up that next Sunday morning like, what happened to my legs?
Were the quads on fire?
Oh, the quads were just on fire because you're going quick. You're trying to get out of people's way. He's trying to grab the railing. And so I'm like carrying him, going up the stairs, running slightly fast. And then you get there and you think you're okay, and next day legs were totally shot.
Well, I go back, I kept thinking yesterday, because you know these girls are 9 years old, which again, when I made the girl cry, I legitimately was just like, I felt naked with a spotlight on me of just everybody looking at me, because it was a total pure weird accident. Like, this girl is maybe the best player on the team.
Okay,
like, she's got a boot, she can move, she booted this ball, and I was right in front, my shin, it ricochets off my shin and goes right into her ribs, and she stopped, and I'm like, are you okay? And she went,
uh-oh.
And she like lost, she like got the wind knocked out of her, so she started crying for a second. I'm like,
that feeling is the worst as a kid when you get the wind knocked out of you. It doesn't happen probably a ton in soccer. I know it always would happen in football. You fall on the ball, fall wrong, and you get up,
terrible.
And you just can't breathe, and you're like panicking internally.
Well, and then the assistant coach is the mom of this kid, and I'm just like, I'm so sorry. And she just kind of looks at me like,
you know,
you didn't need to do. And I was like, I didn't mean to do that.
That's not on you. If she's booting a ball at you and it bounces off you and hits her, that's not your fault.
It was bad.
You're
dude.
Just out there trying to play a little bit of defense. I'm trying to lock down out here. This is the best player. You got to teach her a lesson.
The best comp I can give you is, you remember the moment when George Springer got hit square on the knee?
Yeah.
And you heard it?
That one hurt. That felt bad.
That's basically what the sound of the ball hitting her body was. You could hear it. It was just like, bam! And you saw her like, like she couldn't breathe, and she started crying because she can't breathe. You're kind of panicking for a second.
Yeah. I think we need to buy you a spare set of shin pads now, for just in case. You never know when you're sitting over on the sideline in soccer practice and they call on the parents to come out. You got to be ready to go. You got to have a pair of cleats ready. Get you some shin pads. What else do they wear in soccer?
Well, that's it, really.
That's all you need.
Just the shin guards.
Yeah.
But I
protect those bad boys.
I was really happy because all three dads fell that played.
That's good.
You know, like,
you're out there.
The other two fell, and like I slipped, and I'm like, okay, we all look stupid right now.
Everybody went down. That'll make the kids laugh, put a smile on their face, and then you got to experience a little bit of athletic glory, which is always a good thing.
Well, we have joked on the show that if you could go back and play in a sport,
yes,
how much do you think you dominate because of your wisdom and knowledge of how to play the sport versus like having better ability and being younger but not knowing certain things?
Right. You don't know what the hell you're doing when you're 12 years old.
I don't think we ever proclaimed football in high school level because I would walk that right the hell back. My nephew has his friends over who are on his team.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, those three kids, two of them are going to be in college like in 2 years playing college football. And the other one is a sophomore, and he is already like 5'10". 220.
Those are like legitimate kids who work out,
yes,
condition, they exercise.
They're running 4.640s, 4.440s, and you're like,
nothing
nope.
to do with that right now.
No way.
Too fat, too slow, and too old to handle any of that. You got to downgrade it by at least 4 to 5 years. Maybe the freshman team. I might be able to hang against the freshman team.
I don't think you would.
The varsity team, I'm not going anywhere near that thing.
Same with basketball. I think I said I'd score. No, I think high school basketball players would whoop my ass.
Too quick, man. Side to side. They're going to lock you up. Double team Brandon Sprague, and that's all you need to do.
Tear an ACL or an Achilles.
Not good, man.
Trying to dunk on somebody knowing I can't.
That's the tough part. When if you're going to go dominate a bunch of kids, it's got to be an age where you don't have to give 100% peak effort play in and play out.
Yes.
Like, I can just kind of show up, go through the motions, but I'm bigger and stronger than you, and I'll be able to dominate.
That's kind of what yesterday
was. And I think if you went to, like, the middle school age, and obviously younger than that, you'd be able to handle it, and you don't have to necessarily go all out every play, because you'd be worried about blowing something out. Something bad would happen to you athletically.
Well, imagine, like, you go back and do an alumni football game for Cleveland.
Yeah.
And they have their eighth grade team, and there's just that stout eighth grader
that's one big
hit puberty super hard. And he just
let's go, buddy! Time to play football.
He lines up with you in the Oklahoma drill.
Whoa! You got a mustache right now? What are you, 12? No, get out of here. Check a birth certificate.
Right.
What is this, the Little League World Series? Are you from Venezuela? You 19 years old? I'm not buying any of this.
It did feel good though. You scored two goals. I had the third one hit off the top post. I got so unlucky. I would have had a trifecta. And a little hat trick there, but Ended up in a draw. Ended up 3-3.
Okay, you know, it sounds almost a little Chuck Daly-ish, right? He wanted the college team to hang with the Olympic team.
Yeah.
Keep you motivated for the rest of the season just in case you get called on again.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. We were very happy in the Johnson household to have NBA basketball back yesterday because the little guy is super into, we got a little basketball hoop set up for
one
him.
One of the Fisher-Price hoops?
His little Fisher-Price hoops. He's all about it.
I miss that.
One of his favorite words is dunk. He just wants to
like
before bed, dunk, dunk. It's like, nah, dude, we're not going to go dunk right now, but I understand the desire to want to go dunk. And so I turned on the NBA game when it started, and I'm like, buddy, look, they're dunking. Because he didn't remember last NBA season. You know, it's a little bit too long ago. Now he's into it. He was kind of watching. He was putting some shots up. I'm like, let's go. This is a delightful afternoon right now.
I'm going to ask you a question. I don't want you to get offended.
What do you got?
Were you ever able to dunk on the 7.5 setting? Remember back in the day we used to lower the hoop?
I don't remember how low you used to have to get it for me to be able to dunk. I don't remember the official
height. 7.5, I think, is the lowest those normal hoops
ones
will be lowered.
I think I could dunk on 7.5.
Okay.
I think I could.
Because I just kept, I'm thinking now as you tell me this, like, let Teddy Ballgame know. This might be the only hoop you dunk
this
on.
This is all you got, dude. This is all you got. Now, thankfully, you can get the other hoops like for the driveway and lower them like as low. Like some
that's
of
what
them,
I'm talking about,
yeah,
a driveway
yeah.
hoop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some of them you can go, like my brother's got one in his driveway that's like legitimately just barely above my head. So I think there's some that you can like manipulate to go even lower.
Oh,
I don't know,
like
there's
6 feet.
Yeah, you can go down as far as you know, potentially want to. He's going to need that kind of hoop to be able to dunk, though.
Okay.
Unless we have an outlier height on our hands here,
sure.
Which I don't know if we do or not.
Maybe you do.
Maybe you do. Maybe he grows up to be 6'4", and I'm like, psych, this is awesome. He's got to get his dunks out of the way now, though. But I remember back to when I was a kid, it would always throw me off to actual basketball because it was more fun to play on hoops that were lower and to be able to dunk and do cool things.
It's way better.
And then you'd go, like, actually play on your school basketball team, and I'm like, now I'm shooting the ball 4 feet higher than I normally am in my driveway. And I usually, like, it's like all line drives now. I got no loft on my shot anymore.
See, I didn't do so much the Fisher-Price hoop. My mom didn't do that. We did the Nerf hoop on the door.
Ooh, the Nerf hoop on the door is solid, too.
Which I would say, like, kind of similar in terms of, like, shooting on that versus a real hoop is different. But
you got to get up to dunk on a door hoop, though.
I felt like it helped me with my touch.
Yeah.
You know, I was able to kind of like...
Those rims are not forgiving.
Dude, I'd hit some sick shots in my living room from different angles and be like, dude, I'm kind of good.
Putting the Nerf hoop up in your room was pretty badass.
I had one year where my mom or my grandma got me for my birthday. I don't know if you remember this. They had one of those advanced version hoops that went on the door because Nerf hoop basketball was about all we could afford.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't getting a real hoop.
Yeah.
And so one year for my birthday, we got the one that kept score and did the countdown.
Ah, yeah, those are cool. And like it looks like it's a glass backboard.
Yeah, yeah. It lit up and I'm it would be like that. 5, yeah. 4,
shoot it, shoot
4,
it.
3. And it'd keep count. Like you had a little digital scoreboard. Now, eventually I dunked so much on it that I broke it.
Yeah, it's going to happen eventually.
And I ended up going back to just the stable plastic one that just stood there by itself and I'd have used the wall as a backboard. But I loved that thing, man. That was probably my favorite toy, if you classify it as that, as a kid.
That's one of my biggest goals for Teddy Ballgame when he gets older, is having a hoop in the driveway that has the glass backboard. Because I never had that when I was a kid.
Like a real glass?
I don't know if it has to be. I'm okay with plexiglass.
We have the plexi. Is it puxy or pec?
Plexiglass.
Plexiglass.
Yeah.
We have the plexiglass one.
I never had the see-through backboard. I never had that when I was a kid.
You had that plastic
one. We had
kind
of the plastic one, and you get the like hard, you know, clunk off of it when you try to bank a shot in.
So bad.
Didn't sound good.
It said Huffy on it. You're like, oh, God.
Didn't look real at all. The glass ones that are like, and it wasn't even like a full, like, square. It was like that kind
of. It was the weird, like, the arch.
Yes.
Like an arch, right?
Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
This is when it looks
terrible.
When I'm watching Blazer games at night, that's not what the backboard looks like. I want to shoot on an official hoop here. And you get the kind of see-through ones. You can put stickers on it.
Yeah.
You put different, like, that's high on my to-buy list for Teddy Ballgame years down the line.
My dream is to someday have, I mean, an indoor court is always the dream, right?
That's the dream for sure.
To have one of those like nice $1,200 to $1,500 hoops with the real glass.
Ooh.
That's like, it looks like an NBA hoop.
You put like the cement pole into the ground.
Oh, yeah, you're bolting
not,
into the cement.
Yeah, not one of those that you wheel around and you gotta have bags of sand that's gonna blow over in a storm.
We got bags of mulch and sand on ours right now.
It's official, dude. My brother a couple weeks ago, he was like, hey, can I borrow your truck? And I was like, yeah, sure. What do you need to go buy? And he was on some, you know, neighborhood marketplace or whatever, and somebody was getting rid of for like $25 an old Papa Shot. And no he was kidding. Like, I was like, can he borrow the, he asked if he could borrow the truck. And I was like, of course. Yeah. You just got to let me come over and play it. And once he got it set up, he's got a Papa Shot set up in his basement now. And every time I'm over there, I'm like, I am so jealous of this.
That is
great. I could kill hours doing this.
I hear you. I'm going to say something. We also got a Papa Shot in college.
Ooh, Papa Shot in college is a good pull.
Because somebody just left it on the curb. It wasn't even for any money. It was one of those free ones.
Just go pick it up. You got to find a way to haul it.
We brought it into our apartment, and in for the first month and a half, it was pretty sweet. It was like, you guys have a Papa Shot in your college apartment?
It's badass.
You do eventually stop doing it.
It kind of runs out. It runs out of
eventually,
steam.
Yeah, you just get to a point. I don't know how to explain it. You just get to a point where eventually you stop. Now, he's got kids.
It's the same thing over and over and over again. So I can see that where you're just like, what am I just going to try and set my record again? You know, you just.
When eventually it dies and you're like, well, it doesn't even turn on now and I don't know how to fix that. It's like, what am I? I'm not keeping my own score.
It's not counting how many buckets I'm making here. I got up to 84 last round. I want to be able to count that.
You need the real arcade one, the Dave and Buster's, like the hoop moves. Like that one would. I'd play that one all the time.
That'd be a solid pull for you.
That's
basement.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, the kiddos, I think, will love playing with it for a number of years. Eventually, they'll outgrow it. But that's the beauty of finding something that's like refurbished and you don't spend a lot of money on it, because then when they're done with it, you do the same thing that the other family did.
You do the same
all
thing.
All right, here, you just come pick this up and you can have it for free. It's in my driveway and somebody will come grab it.
One of my all-time favorite internet videos, coincidentally, is two different Asian guys in two different videos. The first one is a guy doing a track meet. And he's supposed to be doing hurdles, but he's too short and he can't jump. So he just sprints and he breaks through every hurdle in the race.
Yes, I'm not jumping over this crap.
And the other one is an Asian guy at a random arcade doing a Papa Shot. And he's flicking the ball with both hands and he's making every shot. Look this up.
Like an underneath flick, kind of just like grab and flick, grab
it's
and flick.
It's unbelievable. He gets like 150 in like 10 seconds. It's unbelievable what this guy does.
The world record holder in Papa Shot makes, probably.
He looks like he should be. It's one of my favorite videos in general on the internet, but it's great because it's a Papa Shot.
Oh, yes.
Dude, look at this guy.
Just grabbing an underhand.
And he's got the cell phone case. It's like a middle-aged dad doing this. It's unreal.
The cell phone case on the hip. I just made 842 buckets in 90 seconds. Beat that.
All right. Well, we got a lot to get to today on the program. 0 days. It is officially
Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard days away.
Damian Lillard days away. Zero.
Look at that. Look at that.
You brought it all back.
Look
full
at
circle.
That. Here we are, baby. We made it, everybody.
So we got some Blazer stuff we'll get to today. Other NBA dealings. We got NFL, college football. It's a dirty pull Wednesday. But we start with yesterday. Did the nostalgia hit? We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at how I met your mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, happy opening night to the Trailblazer fans out there. Shaden Sharp going to be out there to start the game? Ooh, buddy, we got our first starting lineup already on the eve of the season tipping off. Look at us.
We'll
things are
that.
Looking up, baby.
Feeling great. I'm excited for it.
We got that Panda Express coming to the Moda Center. Bright days are ahead, man. I'm pumped.
Before we get to that, we got some random odds and ends. We got the dirty poll to get to at 7. We will get into a lot of Blazer stuff today.
Yeah.
I want to start with, did the nostalgia hit for you?
Basketball. Basketball.
Yeah,
it did,
dude. You got the big laser.
I got exactly what I asked
for. The laser peacock.
Exactly what I asked for. They didn't half-ass it. They went all in. There was a great, I don't know if you guys saw the montage. I think it was before the pregame started or like at the very outset.
Yeah, it was right at 3:30.
Where they went out and they had current NBA players. And they're like, what do you guys remember about the NBA on NBC? And they're all like,
what do you mean?
Nothing. I wasn't alive yet. I haven't. Every Wemby's in there, like laughing, like, "Are you serious right now?" Are you. So that was really fun. And then they brought a lot of the former '90s players into the video, and Ewing and Reggie Miller and MJ and all the different guys that we remember from that era. So that was a great kickoff to it. And then when you open the game, giving me the laser peacock and the music, 10 out of 10, no notes. NBC knocked it out of the park last night.
I thought they were great. They look like a network that is excited to have the games back. I mean, there's a lot of little things about that, despite the fact that the first game was great. It was a double overtime thriller.
I mean, both games actually ended up being pretty solid.
Yeah,
I know
Lakers fought back at the end there.
They fought back at the end. Golden State led for the most part, and then Steph hits that long three late into the night, and you're like, all right, there's game blouses.
I loved the score bug.
Score bug was good.
I thought it was great.
Yes.
I thought Tirico was... Dude, I think Tirico's sport is basketball.
I don't disagree with you. Yeah. He was really good last night.
I liked
night.
Him on that. I don't so much care for him on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah. I'm with Swag. Swag texted about Jamal Crawford, because I always have to spend like 10 minutes of like, who is this? And I like try and figure, you know, when you hear the voices. And I thought it sounded familiar, and then
I
eventually
heard
connected the dots.
I think he did some random NBA TV games.
He did the TNT.
He was on TNT
night, like the players only broadcast or whatever they would call him last
but
year.
But yeah, I thought he was really good. I still don't think you need three.
I don't either. But he laid out and he chimed in once in a while.
He was good in picking his spots, and when he had something to come in with, it was specific and it was detailed, and it was good.
I thought I knew Kevin Durant was playing against his old team, and then I watched the ring ceremony and the banner ceremony, and like it's got to be – that's a different level of petty by the league to make that the game he's at.
The opening night game for the ring ceremony.
It's one thing to say.
Did they pick that before he?
Well, I mean, they very well could have. You might be right there, but there's still a level of like, damn, it had to be Kevin Durant on banner night at Oklahoma City.
That's what I love. I love the pettiness of the NBA in that regard.
You know that.
Give me that awkwardness.
Internally.
Yes, of course it did.
That has to crush him.
And then they booed him every time he touched the ball for the first two quarters. I think our buddy Eric Gunderson had a great tweet. Was like, these guys know it's not 2017 anymore, right? Like, it's okay to move on.
No, it's not.
You won a title. Like, you got a championship out of it. You're fine. You're setting up a dynastic run.
Don't we need...
Quit bitching Oklahoma City. God, I forgot how much I hated that
team. Well, here's the other part.
SGA going 1 of 9 from three, but scoring 80 points because he got to the foul line 47 times.
He foul baited. He did the thing people don't like. That team's amazing.
Yes, they're really good.
And also, you're going to disagree with this because you don't like them for a lot of reasons you've already said.
I'm mainly just jealousy. I'm
they're a likable team. They love each other. They just want to
And they were missing their second leading scorer.
Yeah. Oh, tough. Tough life, OKC. Get out of here.
I didn't say it was tough life. They won the game. They won the game in double OT.
They did what they do.
Yeah. Look, it's mainly out of jealousy. I want to have nice things, and I don't get to have a lot of nice things, especially when it comes to the NBA. So that's the primary reason I end up hating every team that wins an NBA championship eventually. And they've definitely climbed into that leaderboard for me of teams that I hate in the league right now. But it was a great opening night. I love the pettiness of having Kevin Durant there. I think that's what makes the NBA great. We get that every year on Christmas. Like, they've lost their fastball on Christmas, and it's not their day anymore. But most of those games, when the widespread sports fan starts diving into the league, or guys returning or playing against former teams, or I remember back in the day, it was Kobe and Shaq, that first game on Christmas, Miami and L.A. Like, the NBA is really good at that. They know how to pit the former player against the championship team and to have some drama right out of the gate.
I kept thinking at the end of that game, how much does it suck to pay the price they paid to sit as close as they did, and then standing in front of you because he can't sit is 6'6", 6'7", Reggie Miller.
Imagine being the person that was did you see Reggie standing
down in front?
I missed that.
He stands at the end of games, like when it becomes crunch time, he just starts standing the whole time, and I'm like,
and even if you stand, you're not seeing around.
You're
that.
6'7", dude. Like 6'6". What are you doing?
And you're front row too.
Like, and let's you're front
have,
row.
Let's have a little wherewithal here, Reggie. Okay, let's have a little understanding of what's going on in this situation. Sit your ass down.
I thought it was just nice to have, and it's going to be great to have that all year long of just like, oh, there's something to watch. And the league is in a good spot right now from a basketball perspective, I think. And I know I'm biased there, but I thought it was really well done by them. I don't think they're going to be hot takey. I think they're just going to give you their honest thoughts and analysis on matchups and players and all of those kinds of things. So that was, it just was nice to have Kendrick Perkins and Stephen A. Smith and the worst possible pregame show of all time on my television. I got T-Mac and Vince Carter and a little Mello.
I thought they were solid at halftime, too.
They were solid.
I didn't see every second of it, but they were just talking hoops. It wasn't any hot takey nonsense, and it wasn't super long segments, but it was passable and good and better than anything ESPN has done for a long time. I didn't know, and maybe we talked about this when they announced it, is every time they have their showcase games, are they on NBC? What's the breakdown of like NBC games and as opposed to Peacock games? Do we know the answer to that?
Tuesdays are Peacocks.
Well,
and I think there's
eventually
gonna
become Peacocks.
Some NBC.
Okay, I didn't know if it was like every Thursday is when the NBC games are, and then Tuesday games are on Peacock. I couldn't remember
looking that up. I think they're going to sprinkle in some NBC, but I think more so it'll be Peacock. That's how they made it sound, at least on the broadcast.
Because that'll be the only follow-up question I have of how do we view it when it becomes that? Because it was really nice just to turn on the TV and there it is on.
I agree.
It's like, hey, there you go, NBC, watch it on KGW and you're going to be good. What will the difference be when they move those games to Peacock? Because then you're opening up an app and then you're closing the app. And so that was the only curious thing I had from last night.
It looks like at least I got the national broadcast schedule here for the first couple of weeks. So, no, it looks like Tuesday. So, next Tuesday, the early game for us at 5 o'clock is on Peacock, and then the 8 p.m. game is on NBC.
That's right. That's how they were going to do it, where one of the two you get on
local NBC. They want to drive you to Peacock.
Yeah. Well, and also the NBC, I don't think, wants to give up their nightly news inventory every single Tuesday. That's a difficult thing to do.
We also got the debut of Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Now, this wasn't his full thing that he's doing. This was like a nice little warm-up starter platter they gave you of like, hey, Mike's back on talking basketball.
He's here. He's around the league again.
He's in our lives again.
Yeah.
And he talked about how he owed the game, and he'd been away because he's enjoying his family, because he largely ignored his family playing, which I love that admission of like, I wasn't around a lot. And like, dude, casinos, basketball,
not easy to do. You're playing 82 games, Olympics, all the time golfing. Yeah.
He did share a nice anecdote from Mike Tirico, who had asked him about the last time he had shot a basketball.
Do you ever pick up a ball and just shoot?
I haven't picked up a ball in years.
No, come on. Just like walk past. There's got to be a hoop somewhere at your place.
You don't see a hoop anywhere around here, right?
I don't. But seriously, it's the last time you picked up a basketball and shot it.
I was at the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
And I rented a house from the owner.
Sure.
He came over to do pictures. He had grandkids. And I was meet and greet and thank him for allowing me to stay in the house. And he had a basketball court. He says, I want you to shoot one free throw. I said, really?
Power play by
I
that
already
guy.
Paid for this.
Really
I
good,
already paid for the house. It's not like the
already paid for this.
So when I stepped up to shoot the free throw, it's the most nervous I've been in years.
Stop it.
In years.
Stop it. Come on.
And reason being is those kids heard the stories from the parents about what I did 30 years ago.
Right.
So the expectation is 30 years prior, and I haven't touched the basketball.
I hope you swished it.
Absolutely.
Never a doubt. Never a doubt.
You didn't even need to ask that question, Mike. We knew MJ was going to make that shot.
It was like that was interesting. Like I didn't realize he didn't ever put shots up or want, not around basketball in any way in that regard. It was a good little halftime interview of him talking about how he feels like he owes it to the game and wants to be involved again. And he obviously can't play anymore. And the ownership stuff didn't really work out for him. And he wants to pay it forward to a game that gave him everything in life. And so it wasn't an actual look into what the every week piece and hit will be. And I think next week he's doing something on load managing. And I don't know if every week it's a Tirico interview.
interview of him.
I hope it's not a
Tirico interview.
Or if it's like
interview.
Just him sitting down talking about something. I don't know how that's going to be structured, but last night it was fun to have him back around. He's the most recognizable player in the history of the league, and he's been kind of non-existent from a media standpoint, so it was really cool to see him last night.
Well, you just don't hear him talk very much.
No.
I understand that Tirico is the lead guy for them media-wise on play-by-play. I was a little bummed that that wasn't Ahmad Rashad.
Yeah, that was the only miss last night.
My main man, Michael Jordan.
What's Ahmad Rashad? What's he doing? Get him out there.
I don't know.
Maybe he's enjoying his life and didn't want to do it. Maybe they said no, thank you.
That's true. Maybe he said no. I'm too busy. I'm following Oregon football right now.
Ahmad's 75.
I know.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ahmad Rashad is 75.
Does that surprise you?
1949.
Yeah.
Dude, he looks. Is he look the best at 75 of any human of all time?
I can't remember the last time I saw him, but I know he's aged incredibly well.
God, 75. I still need him out there with his main man.
I need just one time. I don't need him to do every week. Just one time. I need Ahmad Rashad on the halftime show.
So a nice little start. I think Houston's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, great to have the lead. It was a great night of NBA basketball
Shingun,
last night.
Man.
He was awesome last night.
Amen Thompson, he was really good too until he had to leave with the cramps.
Are we the next Rockets? Look at that. Young defensive team, two seed, added Kevin Durant.
Well, we didn't add Kevin Durant.
But this is our two seed year where we get bounced early in the playoffs.
Then we add the Kevin Durant.
Next offseason, we add Kevin Durant.
We do have cap space. I like where you're going with that.
We got some financial wiggle room now.
We got Blazer stuff we will get to eventually. Coming up next, I'm going to keep it somewhat hyper local ish. Because this story is going to make everybody lose their minds. And I'll tell you what it is next. You know, last thing I would add to, I want to get to this local story. Watching MJ in that interview, my goat, I kept thinking the mystique and just like the feel of seeing MJ on television and hearing the voice and everything. What I really love about it is just how untouched by the new age he is. Like, I think even Kobe, kind of to a certain extent, I think the reason that people love them so much more than a guy like even LeBron is just they were in the window where they missed the 24/7 social media. And like Kobe was at the age where he could have gotten into it, certainly, and he did more media and he was around it a little more than MJ. But they're just largely like talked about figures more so than always being discussed figures.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense, yeah.
There's this famous Bill Murray story that ended up not being true at all, that he walked into a restaurant, he grabbed somebody's French fry and said, and he took a bite of the French fry and looked at the person and said, "Nobody will ever believe you." And he walked away.
Yeah.
Because nobody would believe you that Bill Murray did that. Ended up not being a true story, but like those stories exist about Michael Jordan. You know people. He came into my sandwich shop once.
Yes.
Ordered the pastrami.
He was at the craps table until 4 o'clock in the morning, the night before he dropped 60 on the Celtics.
Yeah. Whereas now there's video and TikToks and, you know, I think somebody like LeBron being this child prodigy, like he's just kind of, not forced, but he's just kind of evolved of like, I've always got to be in the limelight and the narrative. And
since he was 16 years old, he has been at the top of the headlines.
And it's not very endearing to a lot of people. He does a lot of things for me, and I love him as a basketball player, but he does a lot of things for me. I'm like, cornball.
Come on, LeBron.
Whereas like Jordan just, you don't see him. He's gone, and then he's here, and he's like,
it's the black cat.
He tells you,
he's back. There
the
he is.
The black cat.
I
yeah.
see him. Oh, my God. There's just a mystique about him that will never go away. And I think you're spot on part of it with his career. I think his reluctance to be a public figure post-playing days has led to it, too. It's like when you see him, it's almost like seeing Bigfoot in the wild.
It's a build,
it's MJ. Look at that.
Right.
The only guy that I feel like has that level of power over his sport to this day and will always have that level of power over his sport is Tiger. I think Tiger is the same in golf. Like, whenever Tiger does an interview or says something, and he's more public than MJ is because he's obviously, he had another surgery, so he's not playing right now, but he's been playing as of late. I think he has that same level of power and control over the narrative and the attention of the sport that Michael has over the NBA.
Yeah, I think Brady could have this if he chose not to do broadcasting and, be in every
Now he's in your
commercial.
Living room every week. He's on every interview. Yep. He's an owner of a team. Yeah. He's on commercials constantly.
Joe Montana probably has this then. If we were to go older with an example of somebody
that's
not around us as much and you see him once in a while at a game, but he doesn't do a lot of interviews.
Yeah. He was at the Notre Dame game this weekend at a bar handing out Guinnesses. He was pouring Guinness
like,
for people.
Like, imagine being at that bar.
Like, I'm at an Irish backer bar in South Bend. The game's tomorrow night, and there's Joe Montana handing out Guinnesses.
Well, and I, you know, people were giving us crap because we don't use apps of stores to find out where they place their products, and I totally understand that. I just, there's an element of being old school in some ways of my life that I don't want to lose.
No.
And I understand that
I don't need
these
technology to control everything.
Yeah, and I understand that's maybe not the best example I could give here, but there is an element of just being consumed 24/7 with our phones, right, and a lot of us are addicted to the social media apps of Twitter or Instagram or TikTok or whatever it is, Snapchat, Snapface, Buttface, whatever. there's a thing about it that I just love the mystique. I love the no constant seeing and hearing and, like, when you do, it does hit. And, like, when you see Michael on that couch talking to Tarico, there's an element of, like,
when was the last time you saw an MJ interview? It's, I mean, I maybe NBA
maybe
in
a NASCAR race.
Like, oh, yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, that's, he's more into that world than he is any other world. Like, he owns a racing team. And so he's, race car fans have been seeing him in the motorcycle circuit and the NASCAR circuit. But
last time I saw him in public was at the Ryder Cup, but he didn't do any interviews. He's just always at the Ryder Cup because he's a huge fan of golf. And he goes, whether it's in the U.S. or in Europe, he's
not
there
seeking out.
No, and he's just kind of watching, he's standing around TV, and then they'll show you, hey, he's talking to Keegan Bradley, and you're like, look at that, MJ hanging out over there, but he's not doing interviews.
And a big difference is, and it's not just basketball, like, in those instances, he's going legitimately because he's interested or he's a fan.
Yeah, he's just a diehard sports fan.
He's not seeking out wanting to do interviews. I bet they ask and he says no, whereas, like,
absolutely.
You know, if LeBron showed up, he'd wear a t-shirt that says, I don't want to talk, and then he would be like, hey, you can ask me questions if you want.
Taco
like
Tuesday would trademark t-shirt for LeBron out in public.
Yeah.
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 It's just it's a little bit different. Not taking anything away from the game, but there was the mystique of the NBA. I think he's going to be incredibly helpful as long as they do it right at halftimes. Like, just having his voice week in and week out is going to drive people to want to watch and be interested and care. And that was the biggest thing. Like, I know the inside the NBA crew is going to be on ESPN at some point, but we went
over it.
I think
it's tonight. They make their debut.
Tonight
on
they
ESPN.
Make their debut. But then it's like, what, three times before Christmas? It's like tonight.
I think it's like four times until January 24th.
But I saw a great point. Yeah, I can't remember who made it. I want to credit them, but it was essentially about the opening night, and it usually used to be TNT, and how a lot of that TV contract was built around not the basketball. It was built around the show.
The show
was built
around massive,
tuning in at halftime and tuning in postgame. And what dumb thing is Shaq going to say, or is, are they going to race to the board? Like, that almost became a bigger draw than the actual product itself. And that was, I think, the biggest credit that you could give NBC. The touch of MJ is going to be nice, and that's a great addition at halftime. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't necessarily overshadowing what the product actually is. The product should always be the sport that's being played.
Well, I didn't get to my local angle there. You know what? I'll do it. I found this story to be comical and not surprising in the least, given what youth sports' current climate is. So I'll tell you what that is with a local-ish kind of school next on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey,
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirty poll, top of the hour. We'll talk some college football. It is the opening night for your Portland Trail Blazers. We'll get to that today. We're going to have a fun, we've been doing this for a few years now. We get the local scribes on, and we get their record predictions.
Yeah, we'll go to, you know, kind of over-under. How do you think the team does? How far do they go? Yep. Playoff, no playoff? Give a quick little thought.
So we'll have Gundy again. He'll be on for twice in a week. Look at that. Mm. Richmond, Orem, Freeman, and hold on.
Look at that.
Hold.
That is a Blazer power play lineup right there.
That's a good little lineup there.
That's a good lineup of Blazer scribes.
Stat or Story and Lucy Birds will be on YouTube today. So it's a loaded show.
I'll take your word for it.
You remember the name Peyton Pillar?
Peyton Pillar.
You remember that name?
I do not.
That does ring a bell.
Washington State, Mike Leach era?
Yeah.
Peyton Pillar?
Yeah.
Okay. Peyton Pillar played under Mike Leach at Washington State. And once his career was over, he followed Leach in Mississippi State, and he went on to USC, and eventually he worked his way into coaching. He was a good player in college, and he wanted to do coaching. So Peyton Pillar stayed in coaching, ended up getting the job at Skyline High School. Swag would know that high school. Okay. It's up in the northern Washington area. Kinda.
Okay, like north of Seattle, are we talking?
Issaquah?
Issaquah. Okay,
I think it's Issaquah.
Yes,
familiar with
that
Issaquah.
Neck of the woods,
they're
yes.
They're kind of a, they've been a powerhouse in some years. They've had some good years, a really respectable high school football program. And you might be saying, Sprague, why are you bringing up Skyline High School, Peyton Pillar? I don't know if you saw this, but the head coach, Peyton Pillar, he got suspended.
Huh?
He got suspended because the parents of the players demanded his suspension because he wouldn't play certain players. In fact, they wrote the school administration and said, he's not playing certain players. He needs to be suspended because he wouldn't listen to the parents. And the administration listened to the parents. They suspended head coach Peyton Pillar. They played Woodinville, and they won the game, so they're 5-2.
Sure.
But the coaching staff basically said, you better reinstate him or we're not going to coach.
The rest of the coaching staff is threatening to quit.
And so the administration had to reverse their ruling and unsuspend him.
Oh, my God.
Because parents were complaining about kids not playing.
The first thing that I would ask is, what is the net worth of the parents that complained, and how much money do they donate to the school? Because that will probably answer the only question that you need to know in this regard. If that is a poor family that's not donating a lot or giving a lot to school functions or whatever the case may be, there's no chance in hell you suspend the coach for that. No chance in hell. So these parents have to be very powerful and have to be very big donors of things going on in and around the school in order for the administrators to listen.
You're saying something way nicer. I would say these parents are whiny little bitches.
This is the worst.
Are you kidding me?
This is the worst of society.
What are you doing? Yeah.
Especially for a place, if you're telling me it's a good program, so this coach knows what he's doing, he played Division I football,
he's got coaching ties at USC and Mike Leach. This dude isn't coming from just random middle
from
school.
From nothing. And it's one thing if you're at one of these, random PIL schools that hasn't won a game in 10 years and that you're trying to complain about kids playing. It's another thing for a program that wins at a decent level. So clearly he knows what he's doing, and you're complaining about your kids not playing. Maybe your kids just aren't very good. Did the kids end up playing in the win that they had after the coach got suspended?
I don't know.
Did the assistant coaches put them in, or did they just coach the game the same way the head coach coached it? And we're like, no, those kids suck. You're not playing.
I don't think they did, because here's the thing. He was suspended hours before that game.
So right on the eve of the game.
The day of the game, he was suspended because the parents were complaining.
This is the problem, man. This is a problem with modern society.
It's absolutely
acknowledging
awful.
Acknowledging that your kids aren't good athletes is step number one. And I might have to get there at some point. I fully grant you. That might be on my horizon with Teddy Ballgame. But I will have no problem acknowledging Yeah, you know what? My kid doesn't have it. He's just not very good. The
there's nothing wrong with being a backup.
No.
I want my kid. I told
there's
my kids
also nothing
this.
Wrong with being into other things that, other than sports. Like maybe they're super into books. Maybe they're into acting. Maybe they're into music. Maybe they're into whatever. Maybe they like magic. I don't know. Just support your damn kids. Stop being weird. This kind of stuff drives me nuts when I hear it.
Would you be more supportive of your kid being into magic or Magic the Gathering?
I think magic.
Yeah.
Having him like put on a magic show in the living room, like, hey, Dad, you want to see what I got cooked up? Let's go, buddy. What do you got? Oh, you pulled a rabbit out of your hat?
Now, what's the age where he goes, hey, Mom, Dad, I want to show you magic tricks. Come to the living room. And you're like, still, huh?
Can you use it as a pickup line with chicks in high school? Does that work? You got any game with your magic? Like, what's the benefit here? How long is the magic going to help you out in day-to-day life?
What if he has no prospects? Completely single. Obviously, you know he's
look,
not doing
the follow
well.
Up to the next magic thing is how advanced are the tricks at that point? Like, are we getting into high school magic and it's like, oh my God, you kind of blew my mind there? Or is it the
like
same
Vegas,
of like.
It's not Vegas performer. Yeah.
Did he make Bubba disappear?
Yes.
Like, where's the dog?
Dude, you chopped him in half? That was incredible, man. Show me more. Teach me.
See, now
if it's like that, or if it's like, you know. Michael Scott in The Office pulling out a fake dove from a hat, like flipping it over. If it's still that in high school.
What if it's the napkins out of the sleeve
then,
thing?
Then I put the kibosh on the mat. Like, we need to up our game here. We're not evolving our magic skills. Yeah. We're stuck in Little League magic.
I like that you found a way to make it sportsy. Like, is he going to be a D1 athlete? Are you going to be a Vegas prospect?
Where are we going here? Where are we taking this? Where's the evolution process? What are we working towards?
At least Magic the Gathering involves him gathering with friends and even maybe...
Dude, if my kiddo's into playing Magic, the card, I'll play Magic with him. I never played Magic in my life. I'll get into that world.
Don't know if you would.
I would, dude. I'll support my kids in whatever they want.
It's not a support thing. Yeah. I just there's a lot of levels to that game.
I'll learn it. I'll follow through. If he's
into
it. I tried
to play once, and I'm like, what?
Huh?
How does that wizard beat the rock? Why does this rock beat that flower?
You got to have the right wizard, man. You don't know that?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter with you.
I mean, I'm saying the wrong things right now as an example being pressed, but.
If your kids are not playing, take a deep breath. Look in the mirror and ask yourself, do my kids suck? And if you can't answer that question honestly, the problem is on your shoulders.
I saw this story and I'm like, what? I go to these Nelson games once in a while because my nephew's on the team. And I've met the coach, really nice guy. They had a big game this weekend against Central Catholic at home. Massive game. I've heard some of the parents in the stands. And I'm like, yes! Put my kid in Yoast! Not even so much the kids, just the questioning of play calling, like, loudly.
We're running the ball again, huh?
You're punting! I mean...
Everybody thinks they're a football coach now.
Everybody's a football coach in those stands, man.
I got Madden at home. I know how to run this offense.
And I'm like, how about just letting the guy figure this out and maybe they win? Oh, look, they won the game. The punting was the right choice there.
It all worked out in
the end.
Now,
do I lean over to my brother-in-law and go, I'd go for 2 years? Yeah, but I'm doing it in a fun way, video game way, not like I'm
vocally,
loudly criticizing a coach.
For half of the stands in order to hear, and everybody knows the voice. That was Billy Bob's dad, and he won't shut up back there.
I hope he leaves, Pilar. I hope he goes and finds another job after this season.
It's Pilar. It's
Pilar.
Steve Pilar, former Husky quarterback's son.
Peyton Pilar.
You don't
that
remember this guy at Wazoo?
Now that you say Pilar, I remember the name.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's my bad.
But now I do. Yeah, I absolutely remember him.
He was a good little college football player.
He was. I don't know if you guys had this with any buddies in your life, but people love bragging about their kids and their ability to play sports, and everybody's super psyched about their kids. I'm certainly one of these people as well. But you ever hear that, and then you look at them or you watch one of their games, and you're like, let me bring them. Because I'm very good. Because that happens to me from time to time when I hear people be braggadocious about their kids, and then you see the athletic ability, and you're like, I hate to break it to you, man. So you need to get the yes people out of your life. You need a no person in your life that's going to look at you and tell you, he doesn't have it.
Do you want to name names?
I'm not naming names. No, I'm not naming names, but those people exist, and I know you know those people exist. You have those people in your life.
Do you want to be a no person? Why don't you be a no person? That'd
I don't have the balls to be. I can't be a no person. I'm not controversial or confrontational enough.
You could be
a no person. I'm not
Why
the no person.
I be a no
You're more
person.
Confrontational than I. You have the ability to handle that kind of stuff. I don't have that ability. But I just say, can you promise me now?
Yeah.
If I do this 10 years down the line with Teddy Ballgame,
okay.
And for whatever reason, it won't happen, but for like, hey, Sprague, we're playing a game out in Damascus, come to the game.
If you did that, I would go.
And you come to the game?
Yeah.
And he sucks?
Tell me he sucks.
Sucks or is like not as good as you think he is?
Not as good as I think he is. If I end up falling into this trap, I don't know what the future looks like for me as a parent. But if I become that parent, please snap me back to reality of like, dude, your kid's not very good.
I'll be your Huckleberry.
You be my Huckleberry.
I'll gladly you tell be my your no
man.
Sucks.
You be my no man. I need a no man in my life.
You need no man.
Don't let me be a yes man.
Loaded second hour of the program, the Dirty Poll. Where are we at in the Dirty Poll? I'm curious to see the top 12 teams in college football according to one. Andy Dirt Johnson, Hour 2, 105.1, The Fan of the Fan Sports Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.